I'm Scott Hansen with NFL Red Zone, and you are listening to the Gridiron Gentlemen.
Now then, everybody, and welcome back to the Gridiron Gentlemen podcasts. Two fine gentlemen join me for this podcast, and those gentlemen are one, Dan McLaughlin. How's it going, Dan?
Hey, how you doing? That was maybe a little bit too much energy, but we'll go with it. Hey, how's it going?
I'm very well, thank you, Dan, very well. And returning to the pod after another long absence, it's Josh. How's it going, Josh?
I'm good. I think Dan's hit the delirious stage of depression with the Bears. It's now just over happiness.
Yesterday was the best of the games that I've seen so far, because I started off not caring, and by the end of it, I still didn't care. So, like, it wasn't like the other games where it kind of drags me in. This one was just like, no, I don't care, whatever. Can we just not try and get Caleb as hurt as he's clearly getting? That's the only thing I'll ask.
Excellent. Good stuff. So we will, this episode, we are going to revisit the questions I asked after week one to see how the landscape of the NFL has changed since week one. So those questions were, and the first one was, which is the biggest surprise of the NFL season to date? Josh, why don't you kick us off?
Sam Darnold.
Just in general.
I watch Sam Darnold a lot, obviously. and I've watched him quite a lot since he left us as well. And he always had three or four games in him. He did it with the Panthers. He had that four-game stretch. He's had a couple of four-game stretches when he was with us. The fact he's still gone is astounding to me. He's turned into what people thought he was coming out of college, and I think it highlights how important coaching is. I think he spent a year, was it 2 years with the 49ers? A year?
Mm.
But just getting coached well, and now coached well again, and continually, and he just looks better every week. His numbers aren't as big as some of them early in the season, but a lot of his numbers are a bit inflated because it was, where's Jefferson and inshallah? It was just kind of, where is he? Throw it up, he'll make a play. But he's still doing that because you do that if you get Justin Jefferson. But he looks more in control. His throws are a bit more accurate. So it's still going to Jefferson, but it's not Jefferson doing something ridiculous. It's just, he's finding him in stride. And I just didn't think he had it in him. And between him and Gino, it's a quite depressing time to be watching ex-Jets quarterbacks. But Gino, I always thought was decent even at the Jets. He was never good, but I always thought he had it in him. I did not see Darnold doing this. It's astounded me.
It's as you say, he's got better as the season's gone on. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a bit of a lull, but then he came back with a bit. Well, he had a bit of a lull because But he's come back with a vengeance. What a stupid play yesterday that grabbed my attention, that shows to me that he's not the same Sam Darnold we've seen before. in the Bears game, he was running to the sidelines. Montez Sweat is chasing him down. Montez Sweat, by rights, probably should have had a fumble at this point. But you see Darnold switch hands to his left hands. And all he does is chuck it out of bounds. But the foresight to say, I'm going to get to the sideline, switch to my left hand, chuck it out of bounds, and not take a fumble here is a massive improvement. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, when you see confident players and you can tell they're confident, that is what Sam Darnold is at the moment. He is confident. And Jordan Addison always being open doesn't hurt either.
The impressive thing is, like you said, he had a lull. He did have that wee lull. But nobody's saying he's going to be Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes. Mm. Those quarterbacks at his level, what he's now hit, are always going to have lulls. That's what they are. But he was never able to get himself out of those lulls before.
Mm.
He'd have two or three bad games and it just capitulate. Whereas now he's had that and he's got through it, which is the sign of a good but not great quarterback. That level is, can you get through the couple of bad games? Hopefully you split them with your defense winning you want and you get back on track after that. And that's what they've done. So it's been really impressive. And I'm happy for him because he never badmouthed anything. He turned up every week. He just wasn't very good with us. But I highly doubt that was a him issue. So I'm happy for him, but I'm astounded that it's happened. I didn't see it coming.
To be as good as he's been, he's almost certainly a top 10 quarterback this year.
What do you make of all the rumours that he's going to go back to the Jets, Joss?
The problem with the Jets is I'm not against it, but I need to see who we hire first, because I think he has a coach quarterback. I don't think suddenly he's turned it round in the point that you can throw him with a Mike Vrabel, for example, and he's going to be this good. He needs an offensive guy that can get the best out of him, can keep coaching him, because that's actually what happened at the Jets. We had a good OC his first year. He got better as the season went on. His last four games, he averaged like a 144 passer rating or something stupid. That number's not exact, but something stupid like that. He fixed his footwork. The OC left, and the next year his footwork just capitulated again. He obviously is somebody that needs continual coaching, so the only way I'd take him back is if we make a specific type of hire in the off-season.
It does feel like the crazy ex-girlfriend that's coming back saying, hey, I've changed, whilst you've got the revolver behind her hand with a single bullet spilling the barrel. But yeah, it's a bit like, and that kind of temptation of like, well, maybe I can go and be the success I was meant to be about 5-6 years.
The problem we're going to have is where we're going to end up picking now, because Rodgers has decided he remembers how to throw the ball again. We're not going to get a quarterback in the draft, so it's going to be that. It's going to be a Kirk Cousins who moves on if they want to give Penix the job. But that's the sort of quarterback we'll be looking at now. We're not going to get a draft one, I don't think.
I think he'd be crazy to go back to the Jets, to be honest.
I thought you meant from my point of view. From his point of view, he'd be an idiot. If I was him, I wouldn't be coming back to the Jets. But from the Jets' point of view...
Yeah, fair enough.
I do think he needs to be very smart with where he goes, like you're saying.
Yeah.
I think he is the type of quarterback that needs coached. So he needs to be smart in his pick.
Totally agree.
He could go back to the Niners, I guess, if they're not willing to pay Brock.
Potentially. Rams. Don't know what's going on there. Something weird's going on in San Francisco.
Well, you'd get, if Darnold, I think Darnold would go to the Niners for $20 million a year, 3 years. Mm. Whereas you're going to need to pay Brock $55-$60 million. I think Shanahan would rather Darnold at 20 than Brock at $55-$60 million, even though I think Brock's better. I don't think he's that much better, considering how many players they've already paid and what they need to do to that roster now.
I think he's going to get franchise tagged, to be honest with you. I think
they let 2 years and McCarthy's deal go.
Yeah, well, I think you don't know what you're going to get from McCarthy, but you do know what you're going to get from Darnold. So franchise tag him for a year, see what you got in JJ McCarthy, and then let him go if you can.
Who starts next year then? Do you have an open competition?
Yeah, why not? But I think it's McCarthy's job to lose. But I think if Darnold is impressive, then why not? Just it's nice to have a backup plan when you've got a team that is so on the cusp of knocking on the door, at least. I mean, they're nearly winning the NFC North, so.
What will the franchise tag hit be for a quarterback? 50? 55?
Being that
average of the top five, isn't it?
Yeah. So it'll be about that.
I couldn't tell you what their cap is, like, immediately.
Yeah. Without... No, I just wonder, because it's a lot to pay a guy to be a backup.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. They do have $76 million in cap space. I've just looked it up.
Sure, but then if you're going to pay Sam Darnold $55 million on the franchise tag, that's most of that eaten up.
Yeah.
I think you need to start you have to get franchise creative. Him. I think you actually need to start him and allow McCarthy to beat him out as the season goes on.
Yeah, you might have to play players like Jordan Addison as well at that point. So,
yeah.
So, probably not Cam Robinson, but yeah. I just think that it's one of those that, like, if you let Darnold go and it actually turns out that JJ McCarthy's not the player you need him to be, then that's not great.
Do you trade McCarthy?
I don't think you do that either, though, do you? Like, has Darnold... It's weird, because has Darnold done enough in a year to say, this is the franchise player? Has Darnold... Aaron Rodgers had to win an MVP to beat out Jordan Love for multiple years, until they still had enough of him. Is Darnold that
but
close
did Rodgers
to knocking
have
on the door?
To do that? Or did he just do that? Do you know what I mean? If Rodgers had been 20% less with his... Do you know what I mean? It's fine saying it. Did they have to
I don't know.
And I also think Rodgers is a twat, so it needs to be better than... Because you need to be above your problem, don't you? It's like... And so I think Darnold just seems to get on with it. He seems coachable.
Yeah.
I don't know if they just offer him 2 years, $40 million, 2 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
Split it over 2 years even, and you can get out after one, and it's no different than the cap hit.
Just looking at their, who they've got. Darrisaw, $24 million guaranteed salary. Okay, so they're in quite a good situation. Oh, Bradbury probably is due a payday as well.
What's Jefferson on?
He's guaranteed salary in $31 million, yeah.
So at that point, if you franchise him, you're talking about $86 million between your wide receiver one and your backup QB.
His cap number's only $15 million, but yeah. All right, fair. How have they kicked it down the road? Oh, Justin Jefferson, wow.
You're not expecting him to leave anytime soon, barring a catastrophic injury. You can push it down 8 years, yeah. Really.
Yeah. So Justin Jefferson, yeah. 2028, he's got a cap number of $47 million. So.
Yeah.
Are you listening? They'll probably just push it down. Yeah.
They'll just push it down again at that point.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, that was what's been your biggest surprise of the NFL season to date?
Josh Allen. And I think it's very easy as we reach week 16 to say, hey, no, we all knew the Bills were going to be good. No, we didn't. We thought this was a rebuilding year for the Bills. We thought this was the year. They take a year to get back to where they were. They've made some shrewd moves. This is good for the Bills. But also, we don't think they're going to be good this year. They've been very good this year. Josh Allen has been probably the best player in the NFL this year so far. And he is proving that you might... The NFL changes so often, and we're currently in a phase where maybe you don't need to spend big money on receivers. Maybe you need to spend big money on offensive line, which is like an evergreen kind of like statement anyway. But Josh Allen behind an offensive line with a decent run scheme is good enough to make your receivers and your tight ends better in the first place. But it involves having Josh Allen. So Josh Allen being as good as he has been is a surprise. And the Bills being as good as they've been is also a surprise as well.
Mm.
I don't disagree with it for slightly different reasons.
Mm.
I guess I thought the Bills would be excellent this year. I had them winning the East at a canter. I thought Josh Allen would be excellent, but I didn't think it would be this good, partly because I didn't see him being able to turn the turnovers down while still having the big plays. Like I thought his big plays just meant there's going to be turnovers. It's the kind of thing you live and die with, that you deal with it.
Mm.
But the fact he's still making those plays, and they're not, he's not being as big a play as, I guess, but he's still making them. He just turned the turnovers way down, which I didn't think he'd be able to do.
Yeah, it's made a massive difference. We're seeing like the what hopefully is the final form of Josh Allen now, which is years of work from what Buffalo have done, coaching-wise, surrounding him a ton, asking what he needs. And what we are also seeing is probably the best way of building up a quarterback to be a true franchise quarterback and an MVP level quarterback as well. And I think to a certain extent, we've seen it in Baltimore, the way they have helped Lamar out, not to the same extent, because Lamar clearly needed things that he didn't get until this year. But Josh Allen, it feels like it's constantly been gradually just getting better every year until we've now got this, which is truly outstanding.
Yeah. One of the things that the Bills are doing really well is they are not asking Josh to play hero ball all the time. They've got a really good running game, and they can stay ahead of their chains most of the time. So he doesn't have to do as much crazy stuff every game, and therefore it's easier to not put the ball in harm's way because he doesn't feel like he has to do everything on his own back.
Yeah. So, once again, I feel the same way about the Ravens as well. Like, thanks to having someone like Derrick Henry there, it does mean that it's not entirely up to Lamar Jackson to go crazy. I just think that in a season between probably two quarterbacks for MVP now, maybe we've got to a point where Josh Allen has made fewer oopsies than Lamar Jackson, basically. And as a result, I think he's pulled away from Lamar Jackson as an MVP.
And the MVP, I also think the fact that, and I don't know if this is the same in the NFL, but I remember the discourse a couple of years ago when Jokic in the NBA, I don't know if anyone likes NBA, was going for his third MVP, but a lot of the discourse was you can't win three MVPs having done nothing in the playoffs.
Mm.
It's like it shouldn't impact it as a regular season award, but at some point people are kind of like, there's something going on here, you need to do something before, because three MVPs puts you in a catastrophic level of excellence.
Mm.
who's got three? What, Manning, Brady? Favre has three, doesn't he? Rodgers.
Does he?
Favre won three in a row, did he not?
MVP awards. To Google, I'm going to find
out. Has he changed the records to show that he's won three MVP awards? That was happening.
Sure,
Peyton Manning has five.
Some disabled kids won an MVP, but he's stolen off them.
That's giving me an opportunity to look it up. Peyton Manning's had five.
Josh is completely right. Yeah. Brett Favre won four in a row, 95, 96, and 97. Three in a row, sorry. 95, 96, 97.
So the point is, they're like top in the Volga Super Bowls, the Volga serious playoff success. And I know it's meant to be a regular season award, and I struggle with it because it is that. But having three MVPs is like upper echelon stuff. And I think, until you've did something in the playoffs, I don't know if you can be put in that upper echelon.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe going to work against them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're probably right. Aaron Rodgers has four. Then, yeah, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, and Jim Brown has three. I mean, that list of players there should say it all, really.
Like, as much as the regular season award, I'm kind of like, does Lamar deserve to be in that category yet? I don't know.
Question is, does Aaron Rodgers deserve his four? But, you know, he does. He was outstanding.
The problem is, he got the Super Bowl early as well, didn't he? So he already had the playoff success.
Yeah. True.
And then he decided to not have won playoff games after that. But
yeah. I think Josh Allen has just been... It's been pleasant. I didn't think the Bills were going to be this good. I thought they were going to be good. Still thought they were going to be talented, but they have been... They must be favourites for the Super Bowl now after beating the Lions this week. I would imagine.
I think the Eagles are right now.
Really?
Speaking of the Eagles.
Yeah.
My biggest surprise of the NFL season so far is the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles are an elite football team, despite having potentially one of the worst head coaches in the entire league. Every week you hear another story about how he's fighting with a defensive line coach or jawing again with fans. And it's like, I don't know what his coordinators are doing to keep him away from having any sort of control over anything, but they're doing great stuff. Kellen Moore
Banjo.
Yeah, and fine, but Kellen Moore's like realized I don't really need to do anything except hand the ball off 30 times a game. And that's a decent offense. And Vic Fangio's worked his magic and turned the defense into one of the most dangerous units in the entire NFL. And the head coach is, he is what he is. So it's quite a surprise. I picked the Eagles to be much, much worse than this because I thought the head coach was going to drag them down. And they managed to avoid that somehow. Very impressive.
I'm just looking it up now because I've never thought about it. How long was Big Dom banned from the sidelines?
Do you know the answer here? Have you got it?
No, I'm looking it up now from the sidelines. Because this is a conspiracy theory and there's not substantiated in any way. Is there a correlation with the Eagles dropping off last year and Big Dom being banned from the sidelines? And is it a case that Dom was banned from the remainder of the 2023 season after an altercation with Dre Greenlaw? Okay. Is it possible that Dom's job was to keep Nick Sirianni away from people and stop him from doing dumb shit with them, and now he's kind of back and he's doing his job? They've got a lot better.
I don't know, because I think they're still doing the dumb shit, aren't they? But the bigger problem is they've got players going online, say, like on radio stations, like leaders saying that the quarterback hates the wide receiver and they're no longer friends. Like the whole thing's just they're the most dysfunctional good team in NFL history.
It's crazy.
Like it's, but I get what you're saying, because I kind of agree, right? But wins to me are a coaching stat. I hate QB wins as a stat, but wins are a coach's stat. I agree with you that I think he's terrible, but at what point do you go, his win record is ridiculous. Apart from that 5-6 game stretch at the end of last year, wherever it went to plot, he wins consistently.
Mm.
But I don't know what he does well, because the culture's terrible. He doesn't call plays. He's nothing to do with the defense. Apparently, the wide receiver one decides what their game plan's going to be now, because he took a huff and they decided to throw it 55 times at the weekend. But they keep winning. And is that not the coach's job, to put his team in a position to win? I don't know. I'm struggling with it.
Mm.
Right.
It's a bit like...
sorry.
It's a bit like Mike McCarthy in years past, when he would win 12 games a season and then discombobulate in the playoffs. So
maybe Mike McCarthy needed a big dom, and I'll tell you why. Okay, so up until the Niners game, they lost one game, okay? And then they lost the Niners game, they lost against the Cowboys, they lost against the Seahawks, they beat the Giants, they lost against the Cardinals, and then the Giants won in the last game of the season, and then they lost in the wild card round to the Bucks. Big Dom. Stopping Nick Sirianni doing dumb shit.
Well, by that logic, can you stay away from getting suspensions then, and they're winning it all?
Yeah, maybe don't punch players. That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah, there are some players that they have punched.
Not by Big Dom, though.
And Rodgers.
Love to see that.
That's a good one. I didn't think the Eagles would be this good.
No clue. I thought after last year, I thought it was going to be a struggle for them to get back to relevance.
I picked the Cowboys to win.
Yeah, same. Absolutely, yeah.
I'll take my victory lap in the AFC East, because I did Bills, but the NFC East. My Super Bowl pick's looking embarrassing as well.
What's your Super Bowl pick?
Bengals,
yeah. I can't remember what mine was. I need to
Rams for me.
Rams could still win the West.
Yeah, but I can't see them winning the NFC.
No.
The Bengals certainly aren't winning the AFC. No.
It would be very impressive.
Why I kept believing on them. I was doubling down on my preseason picks. I was like, until they're dead, they'll still get a chance.
Speaking of disappointments, what are our biggest disappointments of the season so far? Dan, why don't you kick us off?
It's not so much a disappointment, because it's one of the worst fan bases in the league. So it's the... the San Francisco 49ers being as bad as they are. I'm just joking. Their fan base is absolutely fine. I promise I'm just joking. But it is an incredible disappointment that they are as bad as they are. And there is reason. But if your reason is that your left tackle means that your offensive line is bad and your star running back is out, and that means your entire offense is bad, then that's problematic. I might go back, say next year, why don't you give the MVP to both Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey as a 1-2? Because that has made such a massive difference this year. But it does feel that it just got away from it this year.
I think part of the problem is, it's like you're saying, they've had a couple of injuries, but their team was so top-heavy.
Mm.
They paid so many stars that they couldn't afford any of those stars to get injured. And one of them was a 96-year-old left tackle. Another one was a running back who's not had a fit season in about 6 years. Last year probably we did, right? But that was it. And it's as if they've seen one season and thought, we've figured it out, instead of that's the exception to the rule.
I think one of the problems they've got is they had staunchly stuck to their guns up until this season, even if Trent Williams wasn't there, even if Christian McCaffrey wasn't there. But after what happened last year, they were like, no. We need them to play, otherwise we're going to need to do something different. Brock, now it's all on you, because you've been the other success story. And as a result, they've gone away from what they have been good at. Like, what they were good at was this whole mismatch system that they had. Debo could be lining up in the backfield, but always catching a pass downfield. George Kittle, that's fine. Brandon Ayuk's a force to be reckoned with. And then Christian Juszczyk is just a guy that could line up absolutely anywhere.
On the Niners, biggest disappointment for you.
Yeah.
What would you have said they'd done if you knew how well Brock was going to play this year?
I'd have said they were Super Bowl bound. without question.
That's kind of what's really confusing to me. Like, if yeah. you, I was not a Brock believer. If you told me I'd have got this, I'd have been there going all the way. They're the favourites for the full thing. But he's played extremely well, and they're still distinctly average, if not below. It's just, it's like a opposite of a padlock stat. It's like, it's enough to fool you into betting money on it and then realising, wait, what?
On defence, I think it's a different problem, which is that you can only hemorrhage so much talent before it starts having an effect. Look at what the Seahawks happened with the Seahawks. The Legion of Boom was the Legion of Boom until it wasn't the same players. It's like Trigger's Broom. Rather, Legion of Trigger's Broom, I don't know. It's one of those things that you keep losing defensive coordinators to head coaching jobs. You keep losing defensive tackles. And eventually the same guys aren't the same up front. So for the Niners, and I said this when we did this last time, because they were equally disappointing at that time as well. You lose Javon Hargrave to an injury, and you lose Arik Armstead to a different team. On top of which, a couple of seasons ago, you'd already lost DeForest Buckner. And you can only lose so many of these talented defensive tackles before you realise that it's very difficult to replace these guys. You might have actually struck gold with each one of these guys in the first place.
They become hubris, don't you? People, the GMs start believing their own hype.
Yeah.
They start thinking, it happened to Seattle as well. Mm. It's like they had that many guys in the late rounds. They just assumed they could always do it.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. Like, it's difficult to pick first rounders, let alone fourth rounders that turn out.
I also think Dre Greenlaw makes Fred Warner a lot better as well. Mm. So Dre Greenlaw coming back from injury has been made a massive difference in the last couple of games. And I think Fred Warner is probably still the most talented linebacker in the league, but I think it does help having a guy you can depend on next year. So, yeah.
They haven't been very good at drafting of late. No. And maybe that's all down to the amount of picks they lost where in the trade for Trey Lance, because they haven't had, until last year, I'll say this year, they haven't had a first-round pick. Mm. And you look at who they did pick in those years, and apart from like Brock Purdy and Ricky Pearsall, people you haven't really heard of. But they've been like linebackers, receivers, offensive linemen, defensive backs. I don't think any of them were, well, there might be. I don't pay that much attention to the Niners, to be fair. But you'd have hoped over the past four seasons that they'd have a few more standouts than what they have from those drafts.
There's also just a problem in general with their selection policy. Like, what's the guy's name? Devondre Stevens, is it? If I got that name right.
Campbell. The linebacker. Andre
Campbell. Yeah. Just refused to play, right? And have you seen his tweets that have come out from Wiley? Was it Green Bay? Was that before?
Yeah, he was at Green Bay before, yeah.
Have you seen the tweets that have come out, like, openly on his Twitter? They went, they expect me to play Hart and then don't then drop you at a fly. I'll never play Hart again. I'll put myself before everything. Mm. Right, which I don't disagree with that thought process, right? It's a short career if you're injured. But if they're tweeting it out there, you need to think that's people put their more mild stuff like that on there. Mm. Like, what's he actually thinking? And if I don't think this is a surprise that he's now acting like this.
No.
So I don't know if they're just because they went all in, they just thought talented player available, just get them, we'll deal with it, and it's just all catching up with them now.
I think it is as well. Like, if you've got, as you say, a top heavy team, like the team that you've got. I say this as someone who did something similar, whose team did something similar. You probably don't want to be spending a third round pick on a place kicker. Mm-hmm. In like you did in 2023. Like you are spending a fortune on some of your players. You're eventually going to need to find, if one of them gets injured, you need to find a replacement. And Garendo's done a decent job. And what's the other guy's name? Jordan? Mason Jordan, wasn't it? The other guy? He did a decent job as well. Jordan Mason, sorry. But you like, I could, a Niners fan here would probably cry injuries, which is fine until you see some of the injuries that other teams are just dealing with. Essentially, they've lost a good chunk of their offensive line, defensive tackle, which they're thin on. But it just shows that they've gone from having quite a deep roster to having quite a full roster. And at some point, as you say, they're going to have to play Brock Purdy. And that's not going to be cheap. And that causes a ton more problems for the Niners. So, yeah. Yep.
Josh, what's been your biggest disappointment of the season so far?
It's really kicked in the last couple of weeks, and it's not the Jets, because unlike most people, I go into every season expecting the Jets to be bad. I didn't think it was going to work. I was like, I had a thought of your quarterback who had a season-ending injury in week one last year. Like, what were you expecting this year? Mine's is actually the Lions, and it's more I feel sorry for them now. I think, for me, they were the Super Bowl favourites, but the injuries are just got too much. And what's really bad about it is I think this might have been the 1 year, because I can't imagine the OC being there any longer.
Nope.
The DC might also be gone. And I love Dan Campbell, but he's obviously the culture guy. He's going to need to hit on coordinator picks, and it's not an easy thing to do.
I think he managed to keep the band together because, hey, this is our year. This is the year we're going to win a Super Bowl. And I think he's even come out and said it in interviews, going, this is the year, because it's going to get tougher from here on.
And the Lions are, I think, maybe not you, Dan, because it's division rivals, but I think they're everyone's second team, because even as a Jets fan, they've been so bad for so long. They had one in 2 years. Like, the fans have been through so much shit. And I thought, and it, also I think it's the sort of thing that if you get the coach and quarterback right, any team can turn it around quickly. And it kind of gives hope to other teams. So I kind of wanted them to go all the way. But I can't see it now. I think they fought a longer than I thought they would when injuries started piling up, and I thought maybe they could. But they got an R3 done at the weekend, and I'm like, you just can't. The injuries on one side are just too much now. And then they're hitting Montgomery as well. They just can't keep up. So my most disappointing is the Lions, but not because how they've done, just because I think it's upsetting for the season.
I wanted them to win the Super Bowl this year, so I have no hatred in the division for them. For two reasons. One, I think it's a great story. Whatever I said about Dan Campbell before, I love Dan Campbell. He's wonderful. I love Ben Johnson, future Bears coach. and I think Aaron Glenn is going to go on to be an equally good head coach as Dan Campbell has been, because I think he's got the same mentality. And also, it would be really funny for the Lions to win a Super Bowl before the Vikings did. That would make me laugh an awful lot. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I can't see it now.
No,
so
I can't see either.
That's the kind of, it's not really for the season, but it's hit me the last couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, it's really disappointing. I think I can't really add anything to what you said, because I think what you said is completely correct. It's just, they've done so well to overcome the injuries they have, but there comes a point when it's just too much, isn't it?
Would be a great story if they did it.
Oh, I'd love it. They're who I want to win it still. But
yeah, same.
I'd actually love a Bills Lions Super Bowl, because I'd like to know someone new. Like, it's just that someone that's not won it before. Two teams that have had a lot of heartbreak in different ways. One that's just heartbreak because they're always terrible, and one that lost four Super Bowls in a row.
Two teams that hadn't won it. And the two most likable teams that hadn't won it in the playoffs, that is. So, yeah. So, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Will, what about you, man?
So, my most disappointing is down to a particular unit, and that's the Seattle Seahawks offensive line, because Geno Smith is playing outstanding football, but his degree of difficulty is so high because that offensive line is so bollocks. And if you wanted proof of this, when he went out of the game with an injury, the entire offense ground to a halt because they couldn't do anything, because the backup quarterback didn't stand a chance. He was being sacked. He committed turnovers. They couldn't get a run game going. It just shows you how valuable Geno was to the operation of the Seahawks. And if they had a competent or half-decent offensive line, they could have been a juggernaut on offense. But they did the old Bengals thing, and that would be right.
What?
Our quarterback's ace. We don't need to protect him.
What went wrong? Because they'd been doing quite well. Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas were turning into a decent pair of tackles.
Abraham Lucas only just come back into the lineup.
Yeah.
So they knew he was going to be out for a long time after he got injured last year, but they didn't prepare a decent enough backup. They didn't really do much to shore up what was already a weak point of the line from last year. So I think it's all personnel based. They didn't do, they didn't look at what they had and assess it correctly, and bring in the right players to make a difference. And actually, you don't need to make that many changes. If you look at someone like Tampa, whose offensive line was mediocre at best last year, they shored their lineup by bringing in a veteran guard and drafting a high-quality center. And now their offensive line is potentially one of the best in the league. So with those two tackles, you didn't have to do a lot to make it a decent offensive line. And they just kind of rolled with what they had and paid the price, in my opinion.
Just as devil's advocate, do you think they thought Geno was going to be this good, though?
This is the third year of Geno being quite good.
I think he's took a jump this year.
I think with a better offensive line, we're talking about him as a fringe MVP candidate.
But that's kind of what I'm... Like, I guess they're probably sitting there thinking, we're probably not in a position to win it all this year.
Mm.
They're thinking for 2 years down the line. Maybe I'm not saying it's right or wrong, because I always think you should... Well, you've got a half-decent team, go all in, try and go for it. But they're probably thinking, we're not that ready to win now anyway. Let's try and figure out what we want to do in 2 years. Maybe, I don't know. But
yeah, I think that's not a bad strategy. But then... And I think maybe we need to give them a little bit of grace because they're a new coaching staff. So... Then maybe they didn't correctly self-scout when they got there.
Yeah.
Potentially. But it's still disappointing because I think Gino's been ace.
Oh, yeah.
And,
no.
I'm not the line can still be disappointing. I was more just saying devil's advocate from the why they didn't do rather than what they didn't do, because you're 100%
You make a good argument, so, and I can't really refute it. But
do we think also that the fact that DK Metcalf just hasn't blossomed into the guy that I think we all thought he was going to blossom into probably hasn't helped a lot, haven't helped either.
I don't know, because I think it'd obviously help if he had, right? But I don't think the passing game from a throwing catch has ever been an issue this year, really.
But so admittedly, Jackson Smith and Jigba's played a lot better. So yeah,
I think it's the getting to the point where he's got time to throw rather than. But it wouldn't hurt if they develop more. I think it's never bad to have more good players. But
true.
Right. Where's everyone else? Let's move on. So, who is this so far this season? The Dennis Green Award winner. Who is who we thought they were, Josh?
Well, for me, it's the Jets. But I know that's not what a lot of people thought they were going to be, so I'll go for a more rounded answer. Who is exactly what the Chiefs? I think it's the opposite. I think most people go with bad, but I'm like, best coach, best quarterback, best defense leads to a good team. Who'd have thunk it? Like, I think they're maybe not winning in the way people thought they were going to win, but if you actually look at it, I think this is always going to be the way they win. Close games, because they've not got the kind of electric power they've had in the past, but they've got a quarterback that knows exactly what he needs to do to win and seems to do it every single time. I think it's funny that they're the fourth favourites when they're back-to-back Super Bowl champs and get the best record in the league. Like,
yeah, people just lost one game.
Yeah, like everyone keeps talking about, I think the Bills will win. I was talking about until 2 weeks ago, the Lions are going to win it all. And I'm like, you're thinking little Kansas City with just Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and lost one game all season.
They'll start wearing those dog masks soon because they're the underdogs.
But the Chiefs, truly, do you know they've been underdogs in the last three playoff games? Like,
just bonkers.
And they're fourth favourites. So I'm like, at some point you need to just go, see when you keep winning, maybe you're pretty good at this old football stuff. But they're what I thought. They're the best team in the league and they'll just keep winning. And I think they're my pick for winning it all this year, I think.
It's boring to say that they're the best coach team in the league, but they're the best coach team in the league. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as we love Dan Campbell or Sean McDermott or Sean McVay or whatever, the Chiefs just consistently grind out wins, and we can put it on some lucky results going their way, and that has happened. But every team has mixed luck. Currently, the best quarterback in the league is week to week, according to them, and that should massively affect what we see.
The other thing is, as well, it's like everyone's saying it's luck, but a lot of what's happening with other teams is poor coaching.
Yeah.
They don't, like, you lose more games than you win in the NFL.
Yeah.
They do not lose games.
If they're playing that badly,
go out and beat them.
If they're playing that badly, pull away from them by more than one score then.
Like, you need to go out and beat them. They will not beat themselves. Yeah. And sometimes that's, and it's what they did last year as well. Like, they kind of sauntered through the regular season last year and then just exploded because it's, and they've now hit the Patriots level of 15 years ago where I will bet against them when they show me they're going to lose. I'm not betting against them. Like,
100% it.
So they are exactly what I thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Dan? Who is exactly who you thought they were?
Jacksonville Jaguars. They are... they're fast becoming the NFL's punchline. Like...
becoming.
With the Browns have like hovered above a little bit, and the Lions have are now up here. The Jags are now the team left there, and it's... I love that people talk about Khan's loyalty to his head coach, okay? And I think that's wonderful, and I think having a little loyalty to your head coach is great, and I think it shows when something goes truly catastrophic, he's willing to pull the plug, like with Urban Meyer. His loyalty to his GM is unreal, is unheard of. I have never seen anything like it. The players he has drafted outside of Brian Thomas this year is staggering. And I know with hindsight we can go back and say, well, you know what? These two, Trayvon Walker was up there with Aiden Hutchinson, and we weren't sure. No, we all thought Aiden Hutchinson was a better player. We thought Trayvon Walker was a good player, and he probably hasn't been as good as perhaps we thought he was, but we all thought that. And then you look at the other players, like Josh Hines-Allen is a very good edge rusher, but like he's not an elite edge rusher. He was drafted in the first round. Devin Lloyd was drafted in the first round. Players like Anton Harrison last year as their right tackle, first round. Where am I else am I looking here? It's just bad drafting for a team that struggles to bring free agents in because no one wants to go there because they draft badly and they've got a bad GM.
And then it go to London every year and might be moving to London soon.
Yeah, which I think is looking more and more likely every year.
Doesn't help. It doesn't help. And to me, it's going to be the biggest issue with it is actually getting people that want to live in London.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, and it's not a negative in London. It's just that it's one
my
thing
family live here. Yeah.
It's one thing moving a 4-hour flight. It's another thing moving across the Atlantic Ocean. It's going to be hard for free agents. And I think that's already hitting them with the thought they might move it. People are like, I'm not going there.
There's a difference between playing in Mountain Time and playing in like Eastern Time compared to playing in GMT as well. Like it's 5 hours between New York and London, whereas like, you know, it's only a maximum 3 or 4 hours across the country. So that doesn't really, that's just below the cusp of not really affecting too much. Whereas as soon as you go to London, you're playing at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a big difference. So yeah. Jacksonville Jaguars, but they need to get rid of Trent Baalke. It's now beyond a joke. He should have gone a couple of years ago. I don't like actively saying that someone should lose their job. It says the man with the fire everyone logo that he frequently puts up on his Twitter account. But it's now beyond a joke what this Jags team has become. And I don't think the drop-off from Trevor Lawrence to Mac Jones has been a lot, but I don't think it's been as much as you would hope it would be, which is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my one is kind of goes alongside the disappointment Josh was feeling about them, and that was that I thought the Detroit Lions were going to be a juggernaut, and they are a juggernaut. Well, they were. Prior to the injury bug being hit, an absolute juggernaut. the fact that they can have their quarterback throw five interceptions and still win the game, juggernaut teams do that. The fact that they can win the game when the quarterback throws for 85 yards and no touchdowns is another reason that they're a juggernaut. They can just, or they could before all these injuries, just beat you in so many different ways. Yeah, I thought they were going to be good. They are very good.
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
I kind of spoke out earlier.
Yeah,
totally agree.
Yeah.
The ironic thing is they can, the quarterback can throw five interceptions and they win, and they can throw five touchdowns and no picks and they lose.
Yeah.
But that's the injuries. Their defense wouldn't have allowed that 6 weeks ago.
No,
definitely not. All right, the next award we're going to give out is the I'm Him Award. Dan, who have you got?
Boring.
Is him.
It's boring, we've spoken about him. It's Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen is the final form Josh Allen, as I said before. This is the guy that we've been hoping Josh Allen can become. And every step where he's got a little bit better, and every time we've gone, oh, but he still does, but he still does this, we are now seeing Josh Allen at the final level going, I don't do those anymore. I've learned my lesson and now I'm here. He is outstanding. He is probably the best player in the league right now.
Mm-hmm. Is Josh Allen's final form Frieza? Is that Patrick Mahomes' Super Saiyan Goku? Is that what we're doing?
I'm gonna nod and smile on this one, Josh, but yes.
Not a Dragon Ball Z fan.
It's just a lot. If you don't keep up with something like that, then I can't. I'd love to. I just don't have the hours dedicated to that. When I've got 70 Warhammer books I need to read.
I have to say, says the Warhammer fan and the colossal expanded universe that has.
Yeah, exactly.
Thought you had too much time in your hands.
I promise you, I'll let you into a secret. It's a joke. None of us have any time.
I'm him. I guess I had a few for this for different kind of reasons. First, I thought of was Josh Allen. Then I thought Saquon. I think I'm going to go for just the player who I think is arguably the best player in the league in comparative to his position. It's Justin Jefferson. I think it just does stuff every week where I'm like, that shouldn't happen. you can't hold him down. You can't stop him. He's did it now for years with whatever quarterback you put out, throwing it to him. Doesn't matter. And it's maybe not that I'm him in the way that he's powering through people like Josh Allen or Saquon Barkley, but no matter what you do, you can't stop him. And I think that is the definition of I'm him.
Yeah, it's different. It's weird how he's having a quiet season and he's still like racking up 14,100 yards and quiet season are we having, Justin? He's still beyond elite. In so many categories. And I think the thing that makes him so good is he can do it in so many different ways. He can be a yak guy. He can be a contested catch guy. He can do the same thing that Tyreek Hill does and just blow past people with speed. It's like, pick your poison.
His best thing as well, going back to even just his college days, were the in the slot crossers. Over the middle, and I think as a receiver that is the I'm him moment, because that's the most dangerous position to be in as a receiver.
Yeah.
But he just does it, and it's not dangerous for him, because in order to knock him out you need to catch him and they're not catching him, so he's like, put me wherever you want, they need to catch me to hit me. So
speedy guy with a giant catch radius is very difficult to deal
dangerous
with.
Dangerous combination.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that'd be mine. Just for years on years now, he's just performed at an unstoppable level.
Mm. So my one of this crystallized about 4 weeks ago when he did a backwards leap over a diving tackler. That still remains one of the most incredible things I've ever seen on an American football field. Mm. So yeah, it's Saquon Barkley. He's become kind of inevitable in that. He just keep running them and running and running and running, and eventually he'll snap off a 70-yard touchdown, and then three plays later he'll snap off a 56-yard touchdown run, and and the Eagles win again, but he is incredible.
Please tell me it's you like, meant that wee pun you've said there.
Yes, definitely did.
have you not picked it up? No.
Nope.
Did you catch it, Dan?
No.
He said he's inevitable and he'll snap. I didn't think anyone picked up. I was waiting for somebody to say anything. I was like, nobody's picked that up, have they?
I didn't even notice, to be fair.
I just caught Herm Edwards on Twitter saying, it's a clip, he's saying he's putting on his cape, he's Superman, on Josh Allen, which I think is a nice way of putting it, that this is his cape season. Yeah, no, he's been outstanding. Saquon's, it's worth it just to see the Giants MVP? Fans just shaking their head.
Do you think he can win MVP?
No. I don't think he can, but I think he should definitely be in the conversation.
Fair.
It's not that he shouldn't win MVP. Oh. He can't because the voters won't vote for him. Not because he shouldn't. Not because he doesn't deserve it.
No.
But the voters aren't going to vote for him, so he won't win it.
Would you vote for him?
Maybe. I'd think about it.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd still go Josh Allen.
I'd go Josh Allen.
I think especially I would as well.
I think if you look at the next three games, they're going to finish with three wins as well, so... He's not going to drop off now. But, nah, fair. I was wondering if you would vote for him, because I would think about it, but I get caught up with the valuable word too much, I think.
Mm.
And I don't like that I do it, but I do. And I'm like, they've called it that themselves. And I'm like, I think value has to be the quarterback. Like, I don't get it. I don't know.
They need to name it. They need like a Heisman-like name.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they just need. They need player. The Brady player of the year or something like
but
that.
Is that kind of the, is that what OPO, what TY, and like, is that what offensive player of the year is and defensive player of the year is?
But you can still have that. I mean, look how many different players of the year college has. Like,
every but that's they do positionally,
yeah.
Though.
Yeah. So surely you could have offensive player of the year and basically formalize the fact that offensive player of the year is the offensive player that's not the quarterback. And then you could have the Brady player of true award. Excellence quarterback award as well.
Yeah. No, I'd not be against that.
Yeah. And he's holding it with a big cheesy grin with all his rings on. But yeah.
the statue
is him doing the same thing.
He needs two hands, does it? He needs two hands. Doing that.
This is excellent podcasting. We're all like, just
I think that everyone knows exactly what we're doing.
All right, let's move on and talk about the next category, which is the biggest overreaction of the season so far. Josh, what have you got?
That the Patriots were going to be good because they beat the Bengals. It turned out the Bengals were just really bad. But... that or the Saints, one of the best team in the league after 3 weeks.
Oh my god. that is incredible. That's so true as well.
They were like third in power rankings and everything. Everyone was like, I remember I was watching one of those talky shows we were talking about earlier. Mm. And it was like someone had the Saints at like fifth and they were on everyone else was slating them saying they're too low and you're just being a hater. thinking back now, I'm like, what a joke that was. So definitely the one of those two. I think that early season ones are always funny.
Hmm.
Dan, yeah. What have you got for biggest overreaction?
Anytime any coach is criticised for either going in for it or not going for it or doing something that people disagree with, I think it is an overreaction, with the exception that maybe... Just maybe Dan Campbell shouldn't have gone for the onside kick this week. But equally, I think that if you've got players that go for it a lot, let them go for it. And if you've got coaches that don't go for it and they're deciding they want to throw them, want to go crazy with it, just let them do it. Let teams do whatever they want. They've got a feel for what their team's going to do. Let them live or die by the sword. Not you, Eberflus.
What do you think about the onside kick?
I think
it's not even that. My problem with it isn't even that he went for it. Because I'm like, they couldn't stop him, right? Yeah. But I'm like, I think the game was already lost. I think the problem with it is you've basically told your defense is struggling enough as it is. I don't think you can get a stop.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they can get a stop. But I thought that, I think that game was probably going to be lost anyway.
Mm.
So I was like, live to fight another day. Don't let your defense know for a fact you do not trust them whatsoever to get a single stop.
It does kind of go against the whole ethos of that team as well. Like that team is pulled together by Dan Campbell being a player's coach. And what he's done is, he's told 50% of his team that he doesn't believe in them essentially by doing that. So,
I think that's the problem. I was like, I kind of get the logic behind it in theory, whereby, because I agree with them, they couldn't stop Josh Allen. They weren't going to stop Josh Allen. But I don't think they were ever going to win the game because of that onside kick. So I'm like, maybe accept the defeat here, but keep your 50% of your team on board, because maybe a few of the players start getting back and they can have a bit of a run here. Now, I don't know the detail in all the players. I know Hutch is out for the year, but the rest of them, I don't really know. But if they can get a few of them back, maybe they get enough back to have a run at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I think he's basically just told half his team right now, screw you, I don't trust you. I think it's the one thing I've totally disagreed with him on all year. Everything else, I've been like, I kind of get it. That, I just thought it was a mistake.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Worth noting as well, the Montgomery injury is bad. There's no denying that in terms of offensive play. However, Sione Vaki is a nice little running back they've got there. Guy they drafted from Utah. But
I think offensively they'll be fine because they've got the O-line, they've got Goff, they've got Gibbs, they've got weapons. I think offensively they'll be fine. I think they've just gone too far with the defense.
Yeah. Alan Robinson's about to put 200 yards up on us this week as well, so you know.
Well, to be fair, if you need a get right game, play the Bears offense.
Can't argue with that.
What about yourself, Will?
My biggest overreaction is everything that was said in the early weeks about rookie quarterbacks. We anointed Jaden Daniels as the second coming far too early. Now he's very good, but we have seen some of his limitations and the fact that he doesn't like to step up into the pocket. He likes to escape out the side of the pocket a bit too much. The up and down roller coaster of Caleb Williams' opinion from he is Jesus to he is Satan. And
back again.
Things that were said about Bo Nix, and Bo Nix has turned into at least a very useful quarterback. And it's something you pointed out quite early on in the draft process, actually, Josh. After it had happened, you were saying, well, I like him a lot. I think what he's done at Oregon and the way he's kind of turned his game around since going to Oregon has been impressive. And if he does the same thing at the NFL level, he'll be quite good. That's exactly what's happened. So, everything that was said about quarterbacks, early doors.
It's a good shout. So, well, while we're on it, I'm still not worried about Caleb.
No, obviously. I think he's a better coach.
Yeah. And the one thing I will also say is, while all this is going on, Drake May's quietly been playing some decent football.
I liked his play at the weekend because it showed a bit of nous.
Yeah.
Where he just kind of tossed it as he was running.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't playing early, so no one overreacted to him.
Exactly. Good point.
our next thingy is, what has been the biggest lie of the season so far? Dan, why don't you kick us off?
Texans have somehow dragged themselves into the playoffs, and they have been one of the most disappointing teams to watch until this week when their defense went, oh, actually, let's play some football, shall we? Like, their secondary played like one of the best secondaries in the league this week. And I can't tell whether it's they just had the Dolphins number for the entire game, but Derek Stingley played this week like he's the best cornerback in the league. The offense is still a problem. The offensive line's terrible, but they are going to drag themselves kicking and screaming to the playoffs only to be ceremoniously booted straight back out again when the wild card round kind of kicks in. The lie is how many wins they've somehow managed to get. And I cannot figure it out. They have been awful this year.
Six games against AFC South opponents is gonna help inflate that win total.
Let's add another one against the Bears as well. So, yes, good point. And then obviously one against the Dolphins. That's eight wins there, potentially, if they won the six games, which they might not have done, but still. It's It's I will get so mad watching them in the playoffs. At least the Niners had the good grace to be bad enough to not make the playoffs this year. So the Texans should have done the same and just let the Colts in, because I think they'd have been a lot more entertaining. The Colts still I suppose could make it, but they don't really stand much of a chance anymore.
It's really difficult now, that especially when they lost to the Broncos, who they'd need like the tiebreak over to leapfrog into the wildcard spot.
Yeah.
What else says the Broncos might not win another game?
Yeah, they've
seen their schedule.
It's ridiculous. It's it's insane, but.
So who have they got again? So they've got Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs.
Yep.
Chargers are a pushover, right?
I will say they'll have the quarterback disadvantage every week. As much as I like Bo Nix, they're going to have the quarterback disadvantage every week there.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. So, yeah, I mean, they're currently scheduled to play the Ravens in the first round. If things ended now, they'd play the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs, the wild card round. It'd be funny, I suppose. That's the only reason that it would be worth watching. But you know, the playoffs are funny, and the Ravens do tend to play down to some opponents, which is a concern. But, you know, I just, yeah, the Texans, incredibly disappointing considering what season-long disappointment, considering where we wanted them to be this year, and we thought they were genuine contenders. They were awful. Really, really bad team.
Josh, what's been your biggest lie of the season so far?
Biggest lie of the season so far is actually from a decision a couple of years ago that we needed to make the playoffs bigger. I think it kind of follows on from what Dan's just said. I'm like, I like the Bo Nix story. I like Bo Nix. I said it from the start. Do we really think the Broncos are good enough to do anything in the playoffs? I don't. And I know the NFC is good this year, and I think the 7 seed in the NFC could be dangerous, but I think it should mean something to make the playoffs.
Mm.
And when 7 out of 16 teams make it, I think it dilutes it too much. I think it dilutes the kind of achievement of making the playoffs. And I think the fact that the Bengals still aren't out of it, like, come on, like, what are we doing here? Like, so that's mine. I think the idea that we had to go to 7 playoff teams is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I also think it makes it, like, it makes it, as we get near the end of the season, everyone's saying more teams are in play. Yeah, but a lot of things are already sewn up as well, because now the Chiefs are going to have the 1 seed. And in the grand scheme of things, the 2 and the 3, is you're not getting the bye anymore anyway. So the other two teams are kind of like, what are we playing for here? They're playing to get the chance to beat the Broncos rather than who the 5 seed be.
Five seed's currently the Ravens.
And the 6 seed. So it's, you're looking at the Chargers or the Broncos.
Mm.
I think both the Bills and the Steelers will be confident in those games. So I'm like, well, you've diluted the 2nd seed in order to add in a 7 seed that I've got no chance of doing anything anyway. But more money into it, so let's keep doing it.
Yeah.
It was just a nice formula with the 6-team playoff. 2 byes, and then division round football was one of the best weekends of the whole slate. And I think you're right, it's been diluted a little bit since going to 7.
And more to play for in the regular season as well. Like, so often we see the top seed of every conference run away with it. So being the number 2 seed doesn't have the same credence that it used to. Like,
well, what have the Bills got to play for now?
Nothing.
Like, they're not really catching Kansas City. Well, they might now if Mahomes is out, but that's just a bit of unfortunate for Mahomes. If Mahomes was still fit, you're looking at what the Bills got to play for. Same with the Steelers. Well, the Steelers could lose the division, I guess. But the Bills got nothing, because do you really care if you're 2 or 3 in the grand scheme of things? You're getting a home game against either the Chargers or the Broncos. You trust yourself in both of those games. They might end up resting players just because that's probably more valuable to them than getting the 2 seed over the 3.
Yeah.
So
I quite like, and it forces, I mean, it still, I think, works out that if, say, for example, I'm terrible at working this out. No, so yeah, they'd still only play the Chiefs in the conference game. They're still there's no way they could play them before then anyway. So it does still kind of make sense on that front. But it is nice saying, and now you go up against the juggernauts of each conference. Like the Bills, the Chiefs, the Lions, and the
two or three, they'd still not play the Chiefs until the conference championship anyway.
Yeah.
Two or three would play
that's
each
what I'm
other.
Saying, right? Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were saying that as an advantage.
No, I was just had a brain fart and thought, could they play before? But they can't, no, you're right.
Either way, it's watch the same. So it just means you get the three at home rather than the road, but that's that far down the road. You're probably thinking get through each stage first. You're not thinking that far ahead, I don't think.
Yeah.
Totally agree. So my biggest lie of the season is that aging quarterbacks can come back from Achilles tears really easily.
No, what do you mean? He was ready to play in week 4.
Who are you talking about?
Even if we were still in it last year.
Did you not see the Netflix documentary?
If we had been in the playoff hunt at week 14 last year, he'd have been playing.
It's not just Mr. Rogers, though. It's Kirk Cousins over in Atlanta.
100%, but I don't think they ever made it out as if it was going to be easy. I think Rogers made out as if it was good to go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Rogers kept talking like, I'm coming back this year. Yeah. And he looked at the team and went, maybe I won't.
Looked at that old line and went, oh.
Carrying his flag back out in week 12, only to be back on IR again. Yeah, just.
But Cousins has been particularly bad over the last 4 weeks. I'm not sure if you decided to torture yourself by watching the Falcons Raiders game last night, but
no, there's another game on, sadly.
That was torture. even though
the Falcons won, they did not look comfortable at any point. Cousins made some pretty piss poor throws, had an awful interception. He just hasn't looked like his usual self. The only time he's looked good this year is when he's been playing the Bucks, annoyingly.
I really hope, and I know you'll be happy with this, but I really hope it's the Bucks that get in. They're only a game ahead, so.
Way more exciting team to watch.
I really hope it's the Bucks that get in, because that'll be a much better game than whoever goes to the Falcons.
Yeah.
But it's probably going to be the NFC North second place. So
if Cousins only survives one season, the Michael Penix trade move is going to look pretty good. Just so long as Michael Penix is going to be a decent quarterback.
No guarantee on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of ifs, but it could look like a genius move if it all works out.
But Rogers lies. Who knew? I'm immunized.
More on that later.
All right. What is the thing that we have enjoyed the most? Josh, what's the thing you've enjoyed the most so far this season?
It kind of goes hand in hand. We're on the Lions. it's both my most enjoyable and my most disappointing. But to avoid talking about the Lions too much, I guess, I've enjoyed that quarterbacks have looked good again. I think last year was a serious down year for quarterback play in the league overall, whereas I think we've had a bit of a boost. I think Lamar's year this year is far better than last year.
I agree.
He won the MVP last year at a canter, and he's one of them up there, but I think there's now a clear separation. I'm making hand movements podcast, that's great, eh? But I think there's a clear separation now between Josh Allen and Lamar, and I think that kind of highlights it, the improvement in quarterback play across the league. I think Burrow's been excellent. I think he could talked about more if they were even semi-decent defensively. I think Lamar's been excellent. Josh Allen's been excellent. I think Herbert's took a big jump because they've got a run game and he's not having to be Superman every time. I think Stroud's took a step back. Mahomes has maybe not been at his best. I think Baker's been excellent. I think Geno Smith, as you were saying, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks now you're getting down to. And Dan had mentioned earlier that Baker, he said, or Geno top 10-ish. And I'm like, he's playing at that level, but I don't know if either of them are, just because there's that many playing very well right now. I think if they were playing this way last year, they'd both be clear top 10. But I just think you get to that kind of 6 through 14 range, and there's a lot of really high performers right now.
Yeah, there's certainly a middle class of quarterbacking, which didn't really exist a couple of years ago. It was that you either had a top guy, a rookie, or nobody.
Mm-hmm. So I think you've got the top 4, in my opinion, or pretty much probably everyone's top 4. Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a drop-off. But then you've got your, I think Baker's in that category. I think Jalen Hurts is in that category. I think Goff. Matt Stafford's in that category. Goff.
Yep.
You could keep going, and there's quite a few, Geno. So I don't know if any of them are top 10, just because it's probably down to personal preference who you think is that 5 to 10 range. But I think they're all playing at that kind of level, and I think it's been good to see. And it means more teams can beat anybody.
Mm. You say that, but there's a massive, I think there's a wider disparity of teams. There's a lot
of
teams that are crap. There's a lot of teams that are good.
But I'd rather that than two or three really good that just beat everybody.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think you've now got, in each conference, you probably get four teams that I think you could make an argument for being the Super Bowl team. I think the AFC, I wouldn't be surprised if Baltimore make it. I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas City make it. I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo make it. I'd be surprised, but that's just because I don't trust the team. But the Steelers should be in that category. I just don't trust them. But that's a personal thing. The NFC, you've got three teams in the NFC North alone. I think you've got the Rams could go on a bit of a run. They've got a quarterback and a coach that have done it before. The Bucks are playing at a level where you wouldn't be that surprised. And you've got the Eagles, so you've got four or five teams in each column. I don't think you had that in the last few years.
No, yeah. I agree with you there.
And I think that'll make the playoffs a bit more interesting as we get down to it.
I think it's just that the bad teams are much worse
this
year than they have been in previous years. Dan, what have you really enjoyed this NFL season?
Okay, so my answer was Josh Allen, but I've mentioned him three times now, if I say Josh Allen. So I will change it up, and I'll kind of go on the piggyback on what Josh was saying, which is that players that we wanted to do well have suddenly done well. Does that make sense? So like Saquon Barkley working out at the Eagles, Derrick Henry working out at the Ravens, like seeing players that you're like, oh, that actually sounds like it might be quite good, actually working out. And that includes then like Geno Smith, includes Sam Darnold. The resurrection of Bryce Young, I'm kind of loving as well. And Anthony Richardson's played better. He's not the guy that I think we want him to be quite yet, but he's played better. And just like seeing players taking a step forward or it working out wherever they've ended up is encouraging. That the way I believe the NFL works about coaching being this massive thing that no one ever talks about, really having this massive effect, is nice to see. And particular styles of coaching working out better than others, and me having my own opinions on that, but yeah.
I think I really hope bad owners and bad franchises take note of how important coaching is and start figuring it out.
I hope that too, Josh.
No, but in a serious note though, the Jets must be looking at it and going, look how many quarterbacks we've had in our roster that are suddenly performing well. Why can we not get this right? And it's maybe not just that the GM picked a bad player. It's that the whole setup isn't designed for it, and you need to go away and figure that out. Whereas if players kept jumping around and not doing anything, you'd go, well, it's not us, we just picked the wrong guy. Who could have done better? But if you do better, it might be. But I also think there's a lot of guys I like doing well. And that sounds stupid, right? But I don't know any of these players personally, right? But we all have opinions on them. I love Baker Mayfield. I've loved him since Golly.
Here's the guy I forgot, but yeah.
I love the bravado. I love the stick in the O in Texas's center field. I love somebody that's unapologetically them. And I think he is. He just is who he is. Josh Allen, love him. I love the fact he's doing well. Saquon just seems like a great guy. And it's a lot of guys getting out of bad situations and into good situations. And it just I'm just happy for them. Baker's top of the list. I really hope the Bucks make the playoffs.
I do love Baker Mayfield.
I love Baker. And his teammates seem to love him, which is a good sign.
He's won me over, by the way. I hated the flag thing, but I've kind of gone back on that. Although, don't do it again in college. Let's never do that, shall we?
Have you seen what's happening?
Yeah, what was happening?
In Ohio. Have either of you seen it?
No, what?
The governor of Ohio has put an enactment in to ban it in the state of Ohio because Michigan did it in Ohio State's field.
It's probably for the best. People got pepper sprayed at that day. Players, not fans.
But I'm like, my attitude's kind of like when people say don't run up the score. I'm like, don't like it, stop them. Like,
I agree.
You don't like it, stop them. Like, and it, what I will say is, what I don't like is see teams that are massive favourites doing it.
Mm.
But Michigan went in that being told, you're shit. You have no chance of winning this. They were a 21-point underdog. I'm like, that's the type I like. I'm like, screw you guys. Boom. But yeah. I think the governor bringing in a law for it seems a bit of a loser move.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, I agree with you, Dan. Like, a lot of team players and things that I'll enjoy are doing well this year. It's good to see.
Yeah.
So the thing I've really enjoyed this year has been the diversity and change in running attacks. So it's been a lot of people have like taken ideas from the Shanahan tree of running, which is a lot of outside zone, which is fine. It's very effective, but it's dull. whereas a lot more of your classic pin pull, getting big offensive linemen running to the outside, hitting cornerbacks. That's great. That's the kind of a rushing attack I like to see. So, and it's happening across the league. It's not just like one team is doing it. You know, the Lions are doing a great job of this. The Bucks are doing a great job of this. The Chargers, back when J.K. Dobbins was about, were doing a great job of this. Just people doing different things and getting back to, in inverted commas, classic running styles of gap scheme, pin pull, duo, all this kind of stuff. Love it. And that's that's definitely the offensive lineman in me talking.
But I think it's, I agree. The run game is now, it's run to pass again, all of a sudden. Like, the run game sets up what you can do in the pass game, and the Bills are a shining example of that. Because what they can do in the run game is setting up what they can then do in the pass game.
There's another one. Mm. Another one doing some nice stuff, yeah. Getting their offensive linemen on perimeters.
Yeah. On that note, does Joe Brady pull a Ben Johnson and stay? Because he's not ready yet, or do you think he will, though?
By the way, I think the same about Liam Cohen as well.
Jinky will jump, though. It's hard to turn down a head coaching job.
I think he will.
Because I had this conversation with my mate, and I was like, he was saying what you're saying. I'm like, yeah, but you're one Josh Allen job injury away from not getting a job next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to turn down. There's only 32 of these.
How many games has Josh Allen missed in his career?
He's been injured a lot, though. And it's why I think they often struggle at times. He plays through injury a lot, and I think sometimes it hurts them. This year, I don't think he's been as wild as he had in past years. So he seems fit at the end of the season for the first time. But even then, it could just be in the pocket, though. You could just get hit in the knee or whatever. And yeah, I think if you get offered a job and you're one injury away, because let's face it, the offense is designed for him. Whoever else you put in there, you can get the best. You're not getting anything close to what you're getting with him.
I think it
depends.
You don't
think Mitch could do it then, though?
I think it depends which job, though. If I was him,
yes.
I wouldn't take the Raiders job if that came up.
Would you take the Bears job if you get Caleb?
Maybe.
Go on, Will, take it.
All right, then fine. If it was me now sitting in sunny Yorkshire, yeah, I'm taking it every day of the week.
Here's $5 million a year.
Can I come with you, Will?
Yeah, I'll make you a quality control coach, Dan. No worries.
Dan's GM. Can I just go a college scout and just go to games? Just get to go to college games all around the country.
Fine.
That would be great. Yeah.
Gents are taking over. The Bears.
Couldn't be any worse.
No. I agree. I actually think that's a very happy move. I'd say that the thing about Ben Johnson that is probably not Ben Johnson. God, there's someone on the mind. Joe Brady, that probably is in the back of his mind, is he got fired from the Panthers. Like, I do think that is probably in his mind. And it'll be one of two things, which is that you've got to take every opportunity that comes your way. Or the other way you could look at it is, I don't want to be in a bad situation again where I could lose my job. So if he's thinking more that, then yeah, he looks around. Shahid Khan comes calling and he goes, hey, do you want to be the Jags head coach? And he goes, no. Or he could be thinking, this is might be the only opportunity I get to be an NFL head coach.
I think it just looks at, do I like the quarterback or not?
Should do, yeah, absolutely.
When you're an offensive guy, sometimes it can be that simple. Because if you trust yourself to get a good scheme and you get a good quarterback, barring Bengals level of defense, there is a kind of floor. Even the Bengals, they're not like, they're bad compared to what we thought they were going to be, but they're still probably going to end up about 8-9. Yeah. They're not going to be disastrous, because if you've got a good quarterback and you can run a semi-decent scheme, there is a floor to how bad you'll be throughout a season.
Yeah. So I think the same about Liam Cohen, by the way. I think I'd stick around for another year.
Yeah, because Todd Bowles can't get three in a row correct. I think he's got... All right, last question then before we preview Thursday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
What has been the thing we've enjoyed laughing at the most? Dan, why don't you kick us off? What have you enjoyed laughing at the most?
Aaron Rodgers talking bollocks is what I've got written here, and I'm going to stick with that one. I am now at a point where he doesn't make me mad anymore. I just sit back and I laugh at him. And I know that I can just move off of Twitter, go to Blue Sky, and then watch and see that I'm not alone in people laughing at him, and that no one's really taking him seriously anymore. If he was able to be slightly aware of the surroundings and look further than his own nose, he'd realize that Pat McAfee is using him as much as he possibly can. And whilst he believes that this person on the other end is agreeing with him, not really, no. It's just that Aaron Rodgers rakes in a ton of money for him because he says controversial things on his show. And then the Netflix documentary where it's like the comeback, how he managed to come back at the age of 40. Bitch, Brady did a better job and he didn't have to do this. He's released a cookbook. Okay? So the whole thing is just now beyond laughable. And it is the asterisk that will be on his Hall of Fame induction, which makes me so happy. Dude, you don't even own the Bears anymore. You don't own anything. You don't own anyone. You just own the fact that you are a laughingstock, sir. An amazing quarterback, probably in a period of time, one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. But currently, we're all laughing at you, man.
I'm not.
Okay, apart from you, Josh, sorry.
What are you laughing at, Josh? What have you been laughing at so far this season?
Not much.
Okay.
It's been a long and depressing season this year, really.
Yeah, the road to the Super Bowl is long as pointless, to quote the Simpsons.
Yeah, not getting close. Honestly, media hypocrisy. Like, I've spent years as a Jets fan, right? In the last couple, everyone's saying we've got a bottom five head coach, which we did. He was terrible, right? As soon as he gets fired, those same people are coming out. What a disgraceful decision. He's the only good coach at the club. He's the only good coach. And I'm like, what are you talking like? And then they lose a few games and everyone says, see, shows he should never have fired them. And I went, we were losing games with him. Like, he won like 30% of his games across 4.5 seasons. Like, what are we doing here? And I think the Jets are an easy punching bag. But the problem is the media punch is at the wrong areas. Like saying that it was the fact that we fired them means that we won't get another head coach because who'd want to work with somebody that fired them that early? I'm like, how many coaches that have got that record get 4.5 years? The GMs get 6 years. Like, there's a lot of reasons to hate the Jets job as a concept. The fact you won't get patience from the owner is bonkers. We don't fire people quickly. It just doesn't. So it's laughing at people just saying stuff for clicks. And it used to annoy me. And I know it's coming across just now as if it does. But I just kind of laugh at it now because I'm like, you're just idiots. Like, and I think it took me a while to just kind of laugh at them. I used to get really annoyed by it. And I'm like, just water off a duck's back. I just find it funny, the bullshit people hit out with. It's quite amusing.
I feel similarly. Not quite the same, but similarly. Because... the way the season I've gone through is that, oh, God, that Shane Waldron's doing an awful job, isn't he? Better get rid of him. Okay, Shane Waldron goes. Well, it clearly wasn't Shane Waldron. It must be Matt Eberflus. Get rid of him. Matt Eberflus goes. Okay, so Thomas Brown, the guy that we all thought was going to be an amazing head coach, who got promoted to an offensive coordinator within a season after he did a pretty poor job as an offensive coordinator at Carolina, is now the head coach of the team, right? Okay, I liked him personally as the offensive coordinator, I think he was doing a really good job with Caleb. I think he was saying the right things. And because he happened to go up and be able to string a sentence together, people thought he would be a really good head coach. So now everyone's gone to, well, it must be Ryan Poles. Okay. So what happens when we're still bad when Ryan Poles isn't? Which, by the way, Ryan Poles is bad. Eberflus should have gone. Waldron should have gone. But we're not seeing the bigger picture in the sense that we haven't been good in a decade. Okay? We have a 101-year-old lady in charge of the team. Okay? Wake up! It's that's the problem there. I love the McCaskies. You know, like, royalty to Chicago. But at some point, you need to understand that they need to get some people in there to actually take control of the situation and just let them make the fat pile of cash that the Chicago Bears will make them. By the way, I'm not saying sell the team, because if Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos buys the team, I will stop supporting the fucking Bears. I'm just saying that right now.
Would you?
Yep. No question. That's the, like, would
I've stop always supporting wondered team. Because we've obviously got somebody on that ilk as the owner. But my thought process was, the club's been there before that owner, and it'll be there long after it.
And it was still owned by a billionaire, I suppose, is the other way.
Yeah, it's still owned by a billionaire that's probably get the same views. They're just maybe not as vocal with it.
Like, yeah, true.
It's always been my kind of thought process on it. But I'm just interested. I also didn't know it was Blue Sky. I thought it was Blisky. Until you say Blue Sky, I'm like, that makes way more sense. but yeah, I don't know. I just, on the owner thing, I'm just kind of like, it doesn't really bother me who the owner is. I'm like,
it's an ethos thing. The problem we've got as our teams are in roughly similar positions, the problem we've got is an ethos of hiring the wrong people at the wrong times.
I agree with that. I wouldn't really go with it. If whoever bought the team, I'm like, whatever. I'm like,
God. Ask me if it happens, I might change my mind. But yeah.
Who would you support, or would you just kind of like the sport?
I can't say the Bills right now, can I?
You'd have to pick an AFC team though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would go AFC, yeah.
Come with the Jets. Depression for depression.
Josh, it's happened again.
Who could you go for?
Probably someone like the Ravens, maybe.
The Ravens.
I like the Ravens a lot.
The Ravens are my most hated team in the league.
Oh, really?
Besides the Patriots.
Interesting.
Partly because how they put Ray Lewis on a pedestal.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
And partly because I hate the stuff that they did to Cleveland. It just doesn't sit right with me.
Maybe I'd support the Chargers and you know, increase their fan base by 50%.
It would make sense to go West Coast, because I hate the fact that the Jets are always at the 6 o'clock window.
Mm.
Because that's the good red zone window.
So it's a very good point.
You get the shit red zone and I need to watch the Jets be shit as well at 6 o'clock.
I hadn't even thought about it like that. That's a very good point. I'd support like an up-and-coming team like the Chiefs or something, I don't know.
Underdog.
Yeah, underdogs. Yeah. Sorry, I'm done now. Aaron Rodgers, he talks a lot of bollocks and it's funny.
Well,
so my one is laughing at the Cleveland Browns going from a sex pest with no charisma to a sex pest with lots of charisma, and suddenly everything's right with the world.
It is sadly very true.
Yeah.
Like, we can laugh at Jameis saying funny things, but he's not squeaky clean himself.
No.
The problem is, and I actually totally forgot about the Jameis stuff until about midway through this season. And I feel bad, because at one point I did make the comment that Jameis is the quarterback I do not want to quarterback my team, but I want him to quarterback some team. Now, that's when I'd forgot about all that stuff that happened. It was at Florida State when he was still there, wasn't it? I forgot about a lot of that. But I was like, just simply as a player and as a kind of memeable personality, the league is better when he's playing. But yeah, I totally forgot about all that other stuff. It made me feel bad for the comment. But
at least Jameis has shown some contrition.
Yeah.
So at least he's trying to redeem himself. Whereas, you know, the quarterback who shall not be named has done the opposite of that.
Double down, don't back down, double down.
But the Browns as well don't deserve to get away with this in any way, shape, or form. They jumped in bed with the devil.
I still can't
believe James isn't that bad. Come on now.
I can't believe how badly it worked out on the field. Like
I'm loving it, personally.
I'm loving it, but I just... Mm. I've said it before on the pod, I think, if you remove the most important thing, right, which is all the off-field stuff, I thought it was a great move.
Yeah.
Just from a simply footballing perspective. But he's terrible. He's absolutely dreadful.
He is the worst Browns quarterback of the last 15 years, which on any team, there are other teams you go, it's not that bad. But the Browns, it's bad. It's really bad. Brandon Whedon did a better job.
Like, Johnny Manziel was better.
Yeah. Well, you know, I still believe in Johnny Manziel, so...
I forgot that quote. But do you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't think it would ever not work from a football point of view. Like,
yeah. I didn't think it would work this badly.
No. But, no, I've enjoyed laughing at that too. It's tough, though, because I feel for the Browns fans. They've been through as much shit as anyone.
And they were outright told to stop supporting their team when Deshaun Watson joined them. And that's difficult to do. But some did. Some actually did. And fair play to them.
It's the same again. I don't think I could. I think my concept, my thought process is I was there before him, I'll be there after him. It's bigger than one player, but I get it. But yeah, I think they've been through a lot of shit.
Yeah. But I'll happily laugh at them right now. Jump in bed with the devil like that, and then you kind of get what you deserve.
Yep.
Well, that has been our snapshot of the NFL season to date, but we have a Thursday night football game to preview. And that is a game where an NFC West affair, as the Denver Broncos travel to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Both of these teams had very different outcomes on their games over the weekend. The Chargers' much vaunted defense had 40 points put on them by mostly Mike Evans, to be fair. Whereas the Broncos won?
They did. They won, yeah. In a game
Jonathan
that the
Taylor forgot what the name was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Does make a difference.
So both these teams can change their draft position. Neither of them are catching the Chiefs, so they can't win the division, but they can get themselves a better seeding, potentially an easier route to the divisional round. How do we see this game going, gentlemen?
I'll go. At first, just can I ask a wee bonus point to something I enjoyed? That Mike Evans is going to get 1,000 yards, I think. I think that's great news. Hopefully, touch wood. But I think when he got injured, I was worried about it, but I'd like him to hit that again. And it looks like he might after a monster game at the weekend.
He only needs 256 more yards.
Yeah.
So in hopefully three games.
Should get there. So here's hoping. Mm-hmm. As for this week, I think it's contrasting styles. It's power versus finesse almost from an offensive point of view. I think two very different philosophies on how to run a football team, two very different personalities at coach, and two very different quarterbacks as well, who have both been equally efficient or effective. Efficient's not the right word. Equally effective this year. And I think surprisingly so for a lot of people, but as Will kind of pointed out, I was kind of a believer in Bo Nix. I like quarterbacks that get better year on year in college, and I think that's what he's done. As for this week, I think it's going to be quite high scoring because I think the Broncos are going to want to put up points. I think Peyton likes these division games to kind of put his foot down, as you probably are well aware, Will, from the years. I think he's a bit of an arsehole, I think is a fair way of putting it.
He is very much an arsehole.
But I think in the same way, I think then he builds up enemies. Even internally, he builds up enemies. I think that's the kind of personality he is. And I think divisional games is something that he then relishes, kind of letting that out on.
I think he enjoys being the comedy villain.
Yeah, exactly. And I think division games are the games you do that. So I think he could really try and kind of put the foot down here. But I don't think he's going to be able to. I think the Chargers are just a better team. I think they're further along in the process, even though they're both newer coaches and Harbaugh's even newer. I think having a vet QB versus a rookie QB just means you're naturally further along in your process. I think a lot of people thought the Chargers were going to be this. I don't think many people thought the Broncos were this. No. I mean, their win total with Vegas was 5.5. And as bad as my Super Bowl prediction was, my bowl prediction was the Broncos win 10 games mm-hmm. and make the playoffs. So I'll claim that because my Super Bowl pick's always a disaster. But I don't think many people thought the Broncos would be this. So I think they're further along. But I also think Bo Nix threw three picks at the weekend, and he might be starting to hit that rookie wall that a lot of them hit because they've never played this many games in college. It's a long season in the NFL for quarterbacks. And when teams start to get the book on you, it takes a rookie quarterback a bit longer to then adjust to the adjustments almost. And I think that could start hitting them now. So I think it's going to be a long night for the Broncos.
Dan, how do you see this one going?
Kind of agree. So the Chargers are beginning to slow down a little bit. I think it's just natural that that was going to happen on a team that is coming into the year basically run on good feelings and spirit with Jim Harbaugh just managing to get the psycho out of Justin Herbert and just managing to just drag this team kicking and screaming into believing they can do something. Sean Payton, however, is kind of like the more work kind of guy who will fine-tune his team so it is like a finessed weapon, but works through brute strength. I don't know the analogy I'm going for here. Regardless, I think that with Jim Harbaugh, it's a matter of belief, and with Sean Payton, it's a matter of just hard work and graft. I'm not saying that Chargers don't work at it. What I'm trying to say here is that the coaches have made a massive difference to both these teams. Like neither of these teams would be relevant without the coaches, and I think we can see that because they weren't relevant without the coaches that were there. Sean Payton said, "I wanted Bo Nix." He went and got Bo Nix. And as a result, now we have two teams that are fashioned in the way that they want. The Broncos may be slightly further ahead in one sense. Chargers may be slightly further ahead that Justin Herbert's managed to stay in the league for a few years, be in the league for a few years. And I think now it comes down to, can the Broncos defense slow down a Chargers offense that believes it can beat the Broncos defense? And I think I feel a bit better about this than Josh does, I think, in terms of how close it's going to be. I think the Chargers are losing a bit of steam to the point where I might consider going for the Broncos in this one. That's where I'm currently at.
On you go.
I've spoken already. On you go.
Yeah. I was just going to say, having watched the Chargers on Sunday, Justin Herbert is not the same quarterback he is with his current injury status.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to run around and be the kind of mobile quarterback he has been this season. He also couldn't get his mechanics right a lot of the time and was sailing passes you'd seen him complete. So I think it's going to be tough for them to play against this Broncos defense, where Patrick Surtain is a full participant again in practice. So if he's back to take away Ladd McConkey, you've got to hope Quentin Johnson doesn't drop half the passes that are thrown in his general direction. So I think this is going to be a low-scoring, pretty ugly affair because I also think that the Broncos offense doesn't match up particularly well against this Chargers defense. If Herbert was healthy, I think I'd be on the same line as Josh, but the way he looked against the Bucks concerns me. So I'm not sure which way I'm going to call this one yet.
At the Chargers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thursday night.
The
record, and I know that's why I said I was so impressed with the Rams last week. I think road teams on Thursday night really, really struggle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good point.
Right. Yeah. Let's pick the game. Dan, where are you going?
Broncos. I don't love it, but I'm going that way.
Josh.
Chargers 37, Broncos 24. I think it's going to be high scoring.
I think I'm also going to pick the Chargers, but it's going to be like 12-10.
Very different games. Wow. One game's worth staying up for, and one game certainly not.
Exactly. Well, well, thank you, gentlemen. That was a lot of fun. If you want to get in contact with us and tell us that the things we've said are absolute crap, there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can join us on social media. You can find us on Blue Sky, where our handle is gridirongents at bsky.social. You can come and look at our Instagram, where we are at gridirongents. You can email us, hellochaps@gridirongentlemen.com. But the best thing to do is come and join our excellent Discord channel, where we are having daily NFL chats. The game day chatter thread is a lot of fun, as people react to watching Red Zone mostly. But I still recommend coming and joining in the fun. You can find permanent links to our Discord channel on both our Blue Sky and Instagram accounts. Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you very much, Josh.
Cheers, both.
And we'll see you all later in the week for the preview pod. Tatty bye.